बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
सो विल कंटिन्यू। सो मदर देवहूति इज गोइंग टू ask something to Kapila Dev. So let's see what she has to ask. Devahutirvacha nirvinnanitarambhuman asad indriyatarshanat yena sambhavyamanena prapannandam tamaprabhu. So Mother Devahuti says, O Bhuman, my dear Lord, Nirvinna Nitaram. Nitaram means very much. Nitaram Nirvinna. I am very much disgusted. Asad Indriya Tarshanat. With this desire for material objects, I am very much disgusted. I have been all the while engaged in sense gratification and it has given me only suffering. Yena, by this sense gratification, sambhavyamanena, which is continuing till now, prapannandam tamaprabhu, I have taken shelter of this deep dark material existence. So therefore, please, this is my situation, you give some solution. Nitaram nirvinna, I am deeply disgusted with this material world. So Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, the qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Yadrichaya Matkatado Jata Shraddhostu Yappuman Na Nirvinno Nati Sakto Bhakti Yogosya Siddhida. He says that the qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti or pure devotional service is that Yadrichaya Matkatado Jata Shraddha. Somehow or other, Yadrichaya means by somehow or other by good fortune. So here the good fortune means through the association of devotees. When devotees come and try to create some appreciation in that person towards the process of devotional service, and if that fructifies in the form of Shraddha or faith towards the scriptures, Yadrichaya mat kata adav. Kata, kirtan, smaranam, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, etc. The Navada Bhakti. Yadrichaya mat kata adav jata shraddo asya sevane. Tu yafpuman. Okay, that's another verse. Okay. And when that shraddha manifests in that person or in that person who comes in touch with devotees, he develops this quality of na nirvinno nati sakto, neither being too attached to enjoying this material world nor being too detached from this material world also, because this is qualification to start Vaidhi sadhana, and once one takes up to sadhana, then his level of detachment also increases. Bhakti Pareshanubhavo Viraktir. In proportion to his progress in devotional service, to that proportion his Vairagya increases. But that Vairagya manifests in the form of not disgust. But that Vairagya manifests in the form of wanting to engage the objects in Krishna's service. This nirvith, intense deep disgust, is a quality of a person who is qualified for jnana, muktikami, one who wants to get rid of miseries. So, therefore this says, na nirvinno nati sakto. One qualified for karma is ati asakta. He wants to always engage his senses in his own sense gratification. And one who is disgusted with this material world Nirvit, one qualified for jnana, he does not want to engage his senses at all, because he has understood that engagement of senses is the cause of my entrapment in this material world, misery. So therefore, I don't want to engage my senses at all. So these are the two classes of people. But bhakti is Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, engaging the senses in the service of Rishikesh. The karmi does not want to, he is okay to engage his senses, but not in Krishna's service. Rishikena is okay, but Rishikesha Sevanam is not okay for him. But worser is the jnani. For him, Rishikena is also not okay, Rishikesha Sevanam is also not okay. Swayam Sevanam. He wants to escape miseries. Okay. So, his thought process is a very selfish thought process. On top of that, he is convinced that engagement of senses means miseries. So without engaging senses, how can one perform bhakti? So therefore, it's very difficult. So therefore, here Mother Devahuti is sort of, by the inspiration of Kapila Dev, showing such symptoms of intense disgust towards this material world. Therefore, she is telling that Nirvinna Nitaram, I am intensely disgusted with this material world. Somehow get me out of this. When she spoke to Kardam Muni also, she said, Yatvam Vimuktidam Prapya Na Mumukshayeha Bandhanat. In the previous chapter, 23rd chapter, she said that you are Vimuktidam. You are capable of giving me mukti, but I have not utilized you to gain mukti. I have taken your association only for my own sense gratification. I have not utilized this opportunity to gain mukti. That's what she is indicating. And we will see in the next series of verses also, she is going to show the same mode. Somehow, you know, give me this liberation. Yes, Prabhu. It means there should not be, it says, there should not be intense disgust. Yeah, correct. That's why I'm telling she is not yet qualified for pure devotion. Not yet. She will very soon become qualified. We will see her transition. We will see her being transitioned from a person qualified for jnana, desire, mukti kami, to a devotee. It happens over a period of time. But as of now, her mood, when Kardam Muni was leaving, she expressed the same mood. Kardam Muni has said, had told that it was there in the agreement. As soon as a child is born, I will take sannyas. Fine, no problem. Unfortunately, the first 9 children who were born were daughters. So, and then he said, okay, I have to honor my vow, I am leaving. So, Mother Devahuti said, fine, you can leave. So you are fulfilling your vow, you are not breaking your vow. But then there is an untold vow that a husband takes towards the wife. Gururna sasyat, swajanona sasyat, pitana sasyat, janani sasyat. Namo chayedya samupeta mrityum. If he doesn't take responsibility for the deliverance of the dependent, he should not take that responsibility only. Okay, he should not get married, or he should not beget a child, he should not accept a student. If he does not take responsibility of delivering that person. So he said, what about that vow? That you have not fulfilled. You have accepted me as your wife, but I am not yet ready for liberation. How can you leave me at this stage? That is the unspoken vow which you are not fulfilling. ಯತ್ವಾಂ ವಿಮುಕ್ತಿದಂ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ಯ ನಮಮುಕ್ಷೇ ಏಹ ಬಂಧನಾತ್. ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ವಿಮುಕ್ತಿ ಆರ್ ಮುಕ್ತಿ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಂಧನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನಾಟ್ ಟ್ರೈನ್ಡ್ ಮೀ ಫಾರ್ ದಟ್ ಯೆಟ್, ಸೊ ಹೌ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಯು ಗೋ? ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಕರ್ದ ಮುನಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಥಿಂಕ್ಸ್, ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರೆಡಿಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಹೀ ವುಡ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ ಅಸ್ ಮೈ ಸನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಜಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಟೆಡ್ ಸೊ ಲೆಟ್ ಮೀ ಸ್ಟೇ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್. ಓ, ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಜಿ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಲೇಟರ್, ಬಟ್ ಎನಿವೇ ಹೀ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ಸ್ ದೀಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಹೀ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಓಕೆ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟೇ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಕಪಿಲ ದೇವ್ ಇಸ್ ಬಾರ್ನ್. ಬಟ್ ಎನಿವೇ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಶಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಸ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಸೆಂಟಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಯೆಟ್ ರೆಡಿ ಫಾರ್ ಯುನೋ ಮುಕ್ತಿ, ಯುನೋ ಹೂ ವಿಲ್ ಟೀಚ್ ಮೀ ಆರ್ ಹೂ ವಿಲ್ ಟ್ರೈನ್ ಮೀ ಇನ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶಿ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದೇರ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ವೆನ್ ಶಿ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕಪಿಲ ದೇವ್. ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಸೀನ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಸೀರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್. ಶಿ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡೀಪ್ ಡಿಸ್ಗಸ್ಟ್. ನಿತರಾಮ್ ನಿರ್ವಿಣ್ಣ, ಐ ಆಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಡಿಸ್ಗಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. ಟೆಲ್ ಮೀ ಹೌ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಮುಕ್ತಿ. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ಶಿ ಈಸ್ ಪುಟಿಂಗ್ ಫೋರ್ ಟು ಕಪಿಲ ದೇವ್. ಸೊ ನೌ ಶಿ ವಿಲ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್. ಸೊ ಕಪಿಲ ದೇವ್ ವಿಲ್ ಗಿವ್ ಅ ಸೊಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹರ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಮುಕ್ತಿ, ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಯು ಹೌ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಮುಕ್ತಿ. ಹಿ ಡಸನ್ ಸೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ, ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಯು ಹೌ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಮುಕ್ತಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಗಿವ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಆಪ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಶಿ ವಿಲ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಅಟ್ರಾಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಭಕ್ತಿ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಪಿಲ ದೇವ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಓಕೆ, ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ದೇರ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ವಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಫ್ಯೂ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಕವರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ರೈಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್, ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ನೋ ದಟ್ ಬಿಯಾಂಡ್ ದೀಸ್ ಟೆಂಪ್ರರಿ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಆರ್ ಅವರ್ ಪರ್ಮನೆಂಟ್ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆರ್ ನೌ ಕವರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ. ದ ಪರ್ಮನೆಂಟ್ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಕಂಟಾಮಿನೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಲಿ. Devotional service therefore involves freeing the senses from this contamination. So therefore, devotional service means freeing the senses from contamination, not freezing the senses completely from working only. That's what the Jnana Yogis, Ashtanga Yogis, they desire to freeze their senses from any action only. But little later in this chapter, Kapiladeva would say, what is the nature of this devotional service? He would say that it is like digestive fire, Jataragni. So, Jarayatyashu Yakosham Nigiranam Analoyata. He says that bhakti is like the digestive fire. One of the reasons I will tell, rest of the reasons we will see while we are going through that verse. He says that the nature of digestive fire is that it is very discriminative in burning. It does not indiscriminately burn everything. Just like some other normal fire, it would indiscriminately, whatever you put, it will burn. But digestive fire is not like that. When we take food, then the nutritious part of the food, it retains, it does not burn. The non-nutritious part of the food, it burns and pushes it out. But the nutritious part, it uses to nourish the dhatus, nourish the, seven dhatus. Okay. So, that way it is very discriminative, the digestive fire. Similarly, bhakti does not indiscriminately freeze the senses. It freezes the material aspect of the senses, but retains the spiritual part, so that the senses can, the asat part is frozen and the sat part is retained. So that's what Prabhupada is writing here. Okay, from asat indriya to sad indriya. Prabhupada says, devotional service therefore involves freeing the senses from this contamination. When the contamination is completely removed and the senses act in the purity of unalloyed Krishna consciousness, we have reached Sad Indriya, eternal sensory activities. Okay. So, bhakti, by removing the impurity, it also activates the spiritual part of the senses which can engage in Krishna's service. Okay. So, and those activities may from an external point of view look very similar to material activities only. So, but the only thing is that those activities are performed for the pleasure of Krishna. So, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, speaking about Ragatmika Bhakti, he says, Sa Kama Rupa Sambhogat Trishnam Ya Nayati Swatam Yadasyam Krishna Saukhyartam Eva Kevalam Udyama. At the perfect stage of Bhakti, Krishna Saukhya Artam Eva Kevalam Udyama. Udyama means all activities or actions are solely for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. Krishna Saukhya Artam Eva. Even the actions of Kama Rupa. So this is the gopis dealings with Krishna. He says Kama Rupa Ragatmika Bhakti. He doesn't say Kama Rupa means its form. Looks like any other amorous exchange, but its Atma is Raga. What is Raga? Krishna Saukhyartam Eva Kevalam Udyama. Any activity performed is purely for the pleasure of Krishna. Even if that involves embracing Krishna, they know that because by my embracing Krishna, Krishna becomes happy. And if they feel that Krishna would be more happy by embracing someone else, they facilitate it. So, Kama Rupa, the external form looks like any other material amorous transaction, but the substance is not Kama, but Raga. Raga means Krishna Saukhyartam Eva Kevalam Udyama. So, engagement in Bhakti slowly wipes off this Asad part of the Indriya, instead of wiping out the Indriyas itself. The Asad part of the Indriya is wiped out and the Sad part of the Indriya is activated so that it can engage in the activity for which it is meant to be engaged in the service of Krishna. That's what Prabhupada is writing here. Devotional service therefore involves freeing the senses from this contamination. When the contamination is completely removed and the senses act in the purity of unalloyed Krishna consciousness, we have reached Sadindriya or eternal sensory activities. Eternal activities are called devotional service, whereas temporary sensory activities are called sense gratification. Unless one becomes tired of material sense gratification, there is no opportunity to hear transcendental messages from a person like Kapila. Devahuti expressed that she was tired. Now that her husband has left home, she wanted to get relief by hearing the instructions of Lord Kapila. So she was looking for relief from material sufferings because she has understood that any endeavor to engage my senses will give me trouble only. I need to actually learn how I can transcend this stage. That's why she is expressing this interest to this plea to Kapila Dev here, just like she expressed to Kardam Muni. Then she continues, Tasya Tvam Tamasondasya Dushparasya Adhyaparagam Satchakshur Janmanamante Labdham Metvad Anugrahat. Adya, finally today, Tvad Anugrahat, by your mercy, Janmanamante, after many many lifetimes, Labdham Metvam, I have attained you. And who are you? Satchakshuhu. Satchakshuhu means you are a spiritual eye or you are like a spiritual torchlight. Paragam, so which can let me cross over. Tasya tamaso andasya. This deep dark ocean of material existence, I can cross over through your association. Paragam also means a boat. Okay. So, like that. She is expressing her desire that please help me so that I can cross over. You are like a spiritual eye or spiritual torchlight. You are like a boat which can help me cross this ocean of material existence. And here Prabhupada writes in the purport, this verse is very instructive since it indicates the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. The disciple or conditioned soul is put into this darkest region of ignorance and therefore is entangled in the material existence of sense gratification. It is very difficult to get out of this entanglement and attain freedom. But if one is fortunate, if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a spiritual master like Kapila Muni or his representative, then by his grace, one can be delivered from the mire of ignorance. Later Prabhupada writes, the word paragam is very significant. Paragam refers to one who can take the disciple to the other side. This side is conditioned life and the other side is the life of freedom. The spiritual master takes the disciple to the other side by opening his eyes with knowledge. Ajnanatimirandasya jnananjana shalakaya. So, that's what she is requesting. Please help me cross over this ocean of material existence. Then, further she says, Ya adyo bhagavan pumsam ishvaro vaibhavan kila lokasya tamasandasya chakshusurya ivoditaha. Bhavan, adyo bhagavan, you are the original personality of Godhead. Pumsam ishvara, you are the controller of all living entities. Lokasya tamasandasya chakshuhu. You are not only my spiritual eye, but you are the spiritual eye of all living entities who are suffering in this material existence. Surya iva uditaha. You have risen like the sun which can dispel the darkness of this whole world. Like that she is addressing Kapila Dev. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Kapila Muni is the direct expansion of Krishna, who is the sun of spiritual knowledge. As the sun dissipates the darkness of the universe, so when the light of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down, it at once dissipates the darkness of Maya. Yahan Krishna taha nahi mayara adhikar. So then, further she continues, Atame deva sammoham apakrashtum tvamarhasi yo vagrahoham mametiti etasmin yojitastvaya. She says, my dear Lord, Atha, therefore, now, Tvam me sammoham apakrashtum arhasi. Till now she was requesting, now she is sort of ordering. Arhasi. Krishna says, Natvam shochitum arhasi. It's like, more or less like an order. You don't deserve, you should not be doing this. It's like a more, an authority can speak to a subordinate like that. A subordinate cannot speak to an authority like that. So she's telling that, Tvam me sammoham apakrashtum arhasi. Now you deserve to dispel this illusion. Why? Etasmin yojitas tvaya, because it is your maya. Only because of your maya I am speaking, I am in this illusion. You have put me in this maya, so you should only get me out of it. And what is the nature of this thing? Yaha avagraha. This illusion is an obstacle to this bhakti. And aham mama iti, it manifests in the form of me and mind consciousness. I and mind consciousness. Aham mama iti. Etasmin yojitastvaya, it is produced by your energy. You are responsible for it. Of course, this should be understood in the right sense. She is not outright blaming Kapila Dev to be completely responsible for a situation. So it's just like Dhruva Maharaj also, when the Lord comes and he has been performing his tapasya to get a kingdom greater than even his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, like that. and so the Lord, being pleased by his determined effort, he appears, then touches Dhruva Maharaj, which is conch shell, purifies him, and then he says, take everything. So he says that you know, you can rule for the rest of Brahmaji's lifetime. You stay in Dhruva Loka, and then after that you can come back, but till then you have to stay here. Dhruva Maharaj is still there in Dhruva Loka. So after the Lord leaves, when Dhruva Maharaj is walking back to his kingdom, so he is reflecting and he is devastated in one sense. He is thinking, what happened? You know, I could have asked for something glorious, and I went and worshipped the Supreme Lord for such insignificant things. Like that, he was very much, you can say, self-criticizing. Now, in a positive way, of course. And all of a sudden, he speaks a verse, which is little confusing. He says, Matir vidushita devaihi patadbir asahishnubihi yo narada vachastatyam nagrahisham asattamaha. My intelligence was bewildered by the devatas, who had fallen lower than what I would fall and were intolerant. They could not tolerate. Thus, being most corrupt, I did not accept the right advice of Narada. So, till now he was talking about himself being responsible. So, he was criticizing himself. All of a sudden, he is telling that the devatas are responsible. Because here the devatas indicate the sense devatas, who are controlling all the senses. So, Surya, Chandra, the Ashwini Kumaras, etc. He is telling that these people could not tolerate my progress. So therefore they confused and bewildered my intelligence, like that. So it's not like he is passing the responsibility to them, holding them responsible for his decisions. It is just like if someone has made a big mistake, okay, and he is lamenting, and his best friend is standing right next to him. So he's telling, you could have corrected me. You could have corrected me. No, you saw that I was going in the wrong way. You were with me. I was not able to see because I was covered. You could have corrected me. If you had corrected, then I would not have done this. It's not that he wants to pass on the blame to his friend, but in a desperation, in a fit of desperation, such statements come out. So here, Mother Devahuti is not passing on the blame to Kapila Dev. All she is indicating is, it's your maya, so you are capable of removing it. So therefore, not all verses of scriptures are meant for critical analysis and establish of Siddhanta. Not all verses are meant for that. Some verses are just indicative of the person's mood. Just like you cannot take this one statement made by Dhruva Maharaj and say that whatever happened to Dhruva Maharaj, that demigods are responsible. That's not what he himself also says. It's just out of in a fit of desperation, people sometimes tend to speak something which are not pakka Siddhanta, even though it may be Dhruva Maharaj. And here in this case, Mother Devahuti speaking in this way is not necessarily she feels that way actually, but in a fit of desperation, people tend to speak something, blame someone who is not. Sometimes you are angry on yourself and someone else comes and you shout on him also. But later when it cools down, you say, sorry, I was, you know, it was not exactly meant to be that way. No, I was not angry on you. Like that. So, there are many, many statements in Bhagavatam, even in Bhagavatam, where you cannot, it's not meant to be taken literally and analyzed it that way also. ஸோ ஓவரால் த யூனோ இன் அ பர்டிகுலர் செக்ஷன் த ஓவரால் செக்ஷன் எஸ்டாப்ளிஷஸ் த சித்தாந்த த இண்டிவிஜுவல் வர்சஸ் நீட் நாட் ஓகே அண்ட் சம்டைம்ஸ் இட் மே பி ரிட்டன் இன் சச் அ வே தட் இட் இஸ் நாட் மென்ட் டு பி லிட்ரலி டேக்கன் ஆல்சோ லைக் ஃபார் எக்ஸாம்பிள் இன் தி தேர்ட் கேண்டோ செவன்த் சாப்டர் தேர் இஸ் அ வர்ஸ் ஸ்போக்கன் பை விதுரா டு மைத்ரேயா துராபாஹி அல்பதபசா சேவா வைகுண்ட வர்த்மசு எத்ரோபகீயத்தே நித்யம் தேவதேவோ ஜனார்தன. ஸோ விதுரா இஸ் டெல்லிங் மை டியர் மைத்ரேயா, ஆக்சுவலி வைஷ்ணவ சேவா இஸ் நாட் பாசிபிள் ஃபார் தோஸ் ஹூ ஆர் அல்பதபசா, ஃபார் தோஸ் ஹூ ஹவ் பர்ஃபார்ம்ட் லிட்டில் ஆஸ்டரிட்டி. திஸ் இஸ் வாட் த வர்ஸ் லிட்ரலி சேஸ், விச் மீன்ஸ் If you do lot of austerities, then you will get lot of opportunities for Vaishnava Seva, which is wrong. It is not correct at all. It is just an allegorical way of telling, I really appreciate the opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas and I know how rare it is. It is like a metaphoric way of telling this particular point. But because we are so distant from the from that particular cultural setup, we do not know we don't have access to those metaphors that were used in those days. Like for example, if I say dekho ghoda bech ke so raha hai, what is the meaning? It means deep sleep without any worry. Okay, one who does not understand this metaphor, he will ask, अरे घोड़ा किस लिए भेजा उसने? कुछ फाइनेंशियल प्रॉब्लम था क्या उसको? कितना मिला उसको पैसा? मार्केट वैल्यू क्या है घोड़ा का? तो वो सब ही विल आस्क दोज क्वेश्चंस बिकॉज ही डजंट अंडरस्टैंड दैट दिस स्टेटमेंट इज अ मेटाफॉर, इट्स अ फिगर ऑफ स्पीच. सो ही इज टेकिंग इट लिटरली बिकॉज ही डजंट अंडरस्टैंड द फिगर ऑफ स्पीच. द सेम वे वी हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड दैट नॉट एवरी statement of Srimad Bhagavatam is available for critical analysis. It is not meant to be that way. So that's why Acharya's commentaries are very important. What they have to say about it. Is it a metaphor? Is it supposed to be taken literally? Is it indicative of the mood of the speaker? Or is such a statement being spoken in desperation? Or is the speaker really meaning it? Like that. Because all said and done, these are discussions between two people. I mean, devotees, but nevertheless, devotees also use metaphorical language, isn't it? So they also sometimes speak something when they are afflicted with emotions. So that's what here Mother Devahuti is mentioning, that you are responsible for it, you should get me out of this. She doesn't really mean it. What she is indicating is, please get me out of it, I am really desperate. It's indicative of her mood of desperation and not really that she is holding Kapiladev responsible for her own distress. She is very much willing to take responsibility on herself. So we have to understand this. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here that Devahuti has stated that false identification of the body with the self and attachment for possessions in relation to the body are also under the direction of the Lord. Does this mean that the Lord discriminates by engaging one in his devotional service and the other in sense gratification? Is the Lord responsible for it? If that were true, it would be an incongruity on the part of the Supreme Lord. But that is not the actual fact. As soon as the living entity forgets his real constitutional position of eternal servitorship of the Lord and wants instead to enjoy himself by sense gratification, he is captured by Maya. So it is not true that the Lord engages indiscriminately. Okay? All odd numbers, Maya, all even numbers, you know, Yoga Maya. It's not like that. These are the activities of Maya, and since Maya is also an agent of the Lord, it is indirectly the action of the Lord. The Lord is merciful. If anyone wants to forget Him and enjoy this material world, He gives him full facility, not directly but through the agency of his material potency. Therefore, since the material potency is the Lord's energy, indirectly it is the Lord who gives the facility to forget Him. Devahuti therefore said, "My engagement in sense gratification was also due to you. Now, kindly get me free from this entanglement." That's what she's telling. But of course, we have to understand that we have to see this verse in light with what she speaks before and after. Jiva Goswami says, Shastra Yukti means Purva Apara Anurodena. What is spoken before, what is spoken later, who speaks it, to establish what point, all of that, we basically the context has to be understood. So if you strip a verse out of context, then it can give n number of meanings actually. So therefore, it's very important that we understand this verse spoken by Devahuti in light of what she has spoken before and now. And subsequently also she is going to speak. Then she continues, Tam tvagataham sharanam sharanyam svabhritya samsara taro kutaram jigyasayaham prakrite purushasya namami saddharma vidam varishtam. So she says that surrendering unto you, Tam tvagataham sharanam sharanyam. Now she is calling him svabhritya samsara taroho kutaram. Kutaram means axe. You are an axe which can cut this tree of material existence. Namamyaham, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Saddharma vidam varishtam. You are the best amongst the knower of saddharma. Saddharma here refers to bhakti. Jigyasaya aham prakriter purushasya. I have a desire to know about the relationship between Jiva and Maya. Because I know that a relationship exists, and that because of that relationship, the Jiva is not able to attain liberation. So please tell me about this. You are like an axe which can cut the tree of material existence. So like that, if you see the way in which someone is being addressed, now you can easily understand the intention of the person who is addressing. She first called him, you are a torchlight which can help me cross over the ocean. You are like a boat which can help me cross over the ocean. Then you are like a satchakshu, spiritual eye, which can help me cross over the ocean. Now she is telling, you are like an axe, which can cut this tree of material existence. Banyan tree. Ashwatta moolam, ashwatta menam suviruda moolam, asanga shastrena dridena chitva. He's telling, you give me that detachment by which I can cut this tree of material existence. So, she's, in one sense, it's all a very selfish address. My goal is liberation and nimitta matram bhava savya sache. She's telling, you be the instrument to cut this tree of material existence. Axe is the instrument here she is indicating. Same thing she told Kardamuni also. You are vimuktidam. You are capable of delivering liberation to me, but na mumukshayeha. But where is that liberation? I don't see it. So that's why of course one can approach the Supreme Lord for many number of reasons. One of the reasons is to achieve liberation. Krishna talks about this category also in Bhagavad Gita. Jara marana mokshaya mama shritya yatantiye, he says. Jara marana mokshaya mama shritya yatanti. Some people of this world also endeavor worshipping me, take shelter of me, with a desire to achieve liberation, jara marana mokshaya. It's not a pure motive, but nevertheless it's one of the motives for which people approach the Supreme Lord, that is to achieve liberation. Same thing here, Mother Devahuti is approaching the Supreme Lord for the same purpose. And towards the end of second canto also we saw, ittam bhavena katito bhagavan bhagavat tamaha netam bhavena hi param drashtum arhanti suraya. So ittam bhavena means, till now I have told you about how devotees understand this feature of Purusha Avatara. The whole second canto was about activities of Purusha Avatara, Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu and Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So this is one level of understanding the Supreme Lord, which means understanding that I am a part of this material world and these are the personalities who are the controllers, so I have to worship them. So which means it's also a very selfish way of understanding the position of the Supreme Lord. But Shukadeva Goswami mentioned that netam bhavena hi param drashtum aranti suraya. But there are still advanced devotees who can understand the Supreme Lord in his terms, as the protector of the cows of Vrindavan, as the protector of the Vrajvasis, as the son of Nanda Maharaj, as the one who gives pleasure to Mother Yashoda, like that. So that is a higher way of understanding the Supreme Lord in his terms, the way he likes to be addressed. So here, the way in which Mother Devahuti is addressing Kapila Dev, it seems like her intention is quite clear. Somehow, get me this liberation. And I know you are capable of doing it, so please do it. She is requesting Kapila Dev. So, here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Sankhya philosophy, as is well known, deals with Prakriti and Purusha. Purusha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or anyone who imitates the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an enjoyer, which means a Jivatma. And Prakriti means nature. In this material world, material nature is being exploited by the Purushas, or the living entities. The intricacies in the material world of the relationship of the Prakriti and Purusha, or the enjoyed and the enjoyer, is called samsara or material engagement. Material entanglement. Devahuti wanted to cut the tree of material entanglement and she found the suitable weapon in Kapila Muni. So she wanted to cut the tree of material entanglement and she found the suitable weapon in Kapila Muni. See, that was just one of the points that she mentioned. So many other things. She said, Vipada Santu, Santuta Shashwat. For that, she was willing to accept a lot of miseries also. But in Mother Devahuti's case, she is little clear that, you know, I don't want to suffer, I have suffered sufficiently. So, and that's just one of the points she is mentioning. So many things. So many other things she mentioned about having the association of the Lord, how the Lord has helped, expression of gratitude was there. And apart from that, she also mentioned that you are the only means to get out of this material world also. But that was not the only thing that she was mentioning. That was just one of the points that she mentioned. So, like that. So, let's see what Now she has put forth her proposal. Please help me get out of this material existence. So Maitreya continues. Maitreya uvacha iti svamatur niravadyam ipsitam nishamya pumsam apavarga vardhanam diyabhinandyatmavatam satam gatir babasha ishat smishla shobitananah. నిశమ్య స్వమాతుర్ నిరవధ్యమీప్సితం. ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్, మైత్రేయ ఇండికేట్స్ దట్ దిస్ డిజైర్ ఆఫ్ మదర్ దేవహూతి ఈస్ నిరవధ్యం. నిరవధ్యం మీన్స్ ఫాల్ట్లెస్, బికాస్ షీ వాస్ ఇన్స్పైర్డ్ బై కపిలదేవ్. జస్ట్ లైక్ అర్జున వాస్ పుటిన్ to that kind of a illusion by Krishna himself, and Parikshit Maharaj was inspired to act in a way which was very much uncharacteristic of Parikshit Maharaj by garlanding Shamik Rishi. Here Devahuti is inspired to speak in a way or act in a way as if she is very selfish. Her question is an absolutely selfish question, but it's inspired by Kapiladev. She is not acting under Mahamaya. She is acting under Yogamaya, which is made very clear by the Acharyas here. So therefore here Maitreya clarifies, because this is an assembly of pure devotees, at least Vidura was a pure devotee. Don't mistake Mother Devahuti. So she says, Niravadyam Ipsitam. So he calls it faultless desire. Why? Pumsam Apavarga Vardhanam. Because she had the desire to bestow this path of liberation for the whole of humanity. She was not thinking about her own emancipation. She was thinking about the emancipation of the whole humanity. Diya Abhinandya. So Kapiladev, understanding this faultless desire of his mother, mentally or thanked her by his intelligence. It means he is going to speak the philosophy of Sankhya. That's thanking by intelligence. Ishat smita shobita ananaha, with a slight smile on his face. So Srila Vishwanatha Thakur mentions that he was smiling because he was thinking that you are my mother and I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can you be in Maya? So he is smiling in order to indicate that how can the mother of the Supreme Lord be under illusion. So indicating that she is under Yogamaya and not under Mahamaya. Under Yogamaya she is inspired to ask such questions for the benefit of all. Like that. So now Kapiladev is going to answer the questions of Mother Devahuti. So he says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yoga Adhyatmika Pumsam Mato Nishreyasayame Atyanto Paratir Yatra Dukkasya Cha Sukasya Cha. So he is telling, Mato me, in my opinion, my dear mother, Adhyatmika Yoga Pumsam Nishreyasaya. In response to your question about how do I get liberation, I present this proposal that you should be following Adhyatmika Yoga. If you practice Adhyatmika Yoga, Pumsam Nishreyasaya, the person can attain complete personal benefit. Yatra, by such a practice, Atyanta Uparatir, Dukkasya Cha Sukasya Cha. By that, material happiness and miseries can be completely uprooted. So in response to your question, I present this Adhyatmika Yoga. So Adhyatmika Yoga means that which differentiates between body and soul. That yoga system which differentiates between body and soul, and suggests some practice which can take one on the platform of soul. According to Kapila Dev, three practices fall in this category: Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. All three practices differentiate between body and soul. So he says, therefore, I am presenting to you this option of Adhyatmika Yoga. If you want liberation, it is only possible through Adhyatmika Yoga, which means either Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. So I will present all three of these yogas to you, and you may choose what you want to practice. So here Srila Prabhupada writes, in the material world everyone is trying to get some material happiness, but as soon as we get some material happiness, there is also material distress. In the material world, one cannot have unadulterated happiness. Any kind of happiness one has is contaminated by distress also. For example, if we want to drink milk, then we have to bother to maintain a cow and keep her fit to supply milk. So our Madhav Chandra Prabhu is sitting there. So that's what he has been doing for the last 4 years now. After giving up his lucrative job in Microsoft, so he has started a farm. Now he milks cows himself. He sells it also. So one understands that if one wants to drink milk, then we have to bother to maintain a cow and keep her fit to supply milk. Drinking milk is very nice. It is also pleasure. But for the sake of drinking milk, one has to accept so much trouble. The yoga system, as here stated by the Lord, is meant to end all material happiness and material distress. Okay. Dukkasya cha sukasya cha. It removes material miseries also. Material happiness also is removed by this Adhyatmika Yoga. Then he says, tamimam te pravakshyami yamavocham puranage rishinam shrotukamanam yogam sarvanga naipunam. O anaghe, O pious mother, tam te pravakshyami imam yoga. Let me now explain to you about this yoga. Sarva anga naipunam, whose many parts are very easy to perform, whose many parts include lot of elements of bhakti, therefore it is mentioned as easy. Sarva anga naipunam, as Krishna says, susukam kartum avyayam. So we will see in the 27th and 28th chapters, when Kapila Dev describes the Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga, we will see that as a part of their sadhana, they practice many limbs of bhakti apart from Ashtanga Yoga limbs and Jnana Yoga limbs. That is true Jnana Yoga that is described according to Vedic scriptures. Okay. Vedic scriptures do not talk about any path which is devoid of the element of bhakti, because such a path cannot give any result, or it cannot give the ultimate result of that practice at all. So therefore, he is mentioning that sarvanga naipunam. I will speak about that path of yoga in which many of the limbs are very pleasurable to perform. And this is not something new I am telling you. Yam pura avocham. I have spoken this previously also. Rishinam shrotukamanam. Unto those rishis who are very much eager to hear, I have spoken this before. Nothing new I am going to tell. Whatever I have already presented, I am just going to re-present it right now to you. So, Prabhupada here very nicely explains that the Lord does not manufacture a new system of yoga. Because all systems of yoga have been manufactured by Him only. He does not have to manufacture a new system. Sometimes it is claimed that someone has become an incarnation of God and is expounding a new theological aspect of the Absolute Truth. But here we find that although Kapila Muni is the Lord Himself and is capable of manufacturing a new doctrine for His mother, He nevertheless says, I shall just explain the ancient system which I once explained to the great sages because they were anxious to hear about it. He could have presented a new system. If at all someone is capable of presenting a new theological system, it is the Supreme Lord. But that Supreme Lord says, I am not telling you anything new. I am speaking to you that very same process which I already spoke to the rishis. As Krishna says, Rishibir Bahuda Gitam Chandobir Vividai Pratak Brahma Sutra Padesh Cheva Hetu Madhibir Hetu Madhbir Vinishchitaihi. In the 13th chapter, after describing about the Kshetra and Kshetragya, he says that if you want more details about the subject matter, you know, he says, these are the books you can refer to. I just spoke to you in summary, but these have already been mentioned. Rishibir Bahuda Gitam, the rishis have extensively written about it. The Upanishads speak about it. The Brahma Sutra speak about it. And I have just summarized it in one or two verses for you. These are the reference material. Like that Krishna says. Same thing here. Kapila Dev is also telling. I am not giving you any new path. This path has already been described by me before to the rishis. Like that. Any specific reason for first presenting Bhakti Yoga? Because he starts out by mentioning that of the three paths that I am giving you, Bhakti Yoga is the best. So let me first speak about it. And then he also presents about the other two yogas. But while elaborating, he first elaborates about... he first elaborates about Bhakti only. Because he mentions that that is the best of the three. That's why he presents it first. Okay. So then, Kapila Dev continues.
Chetak kalvasya bandaya muktaye chatmano matam guneshu saktam bandaya ratam vapumsi muktaye.
He says, Chetaha means here, Cheta refers to mind. Khalu means certainly. You need not have second thoughts about it. Mind definitely. Asya bandaya cha muktaye cha atmano matam. In my opinion, mind is the cause of bondage and liberation of the jiva. Maneva manushyanam karanam bandamokshayoho. It is the mind is certainly the cause of bondage and liberation of the jiva. Guneshu saktam bandaya. When the mind is attached to the gunas, it causes bondage. Ratam va pumsi muktaye. But if the same mind develops an attraction towards the Supreme Lord, it becomes the cause of liberation of the living entity. So therefore, in this adhyatmic yoga, the pivot is the mind. So how you engage the mind decides your destination. So if you can
help the mind develop an attraction towards the Supreme Lord, that mind will act as your friend and help you attain liberation. But if you do not endeavor, then your mind being attached, naturally attached to the matter, will become the cause of bondage. So he starts out describing this Adhyatmic Yoga by mentioning the general characteristics of this Adhyatmic Yoga, which he says the general characteristic is that mind is the pivot. If mind is attached to matter, it will cause bondage. The same mind when attached to the Supreme Lord, it will be the cause of liberation. Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur, commenting on this, he says, the mind of the jivas binds him up by bad association and liberates him by good association. That is mentioned here. The method of bondage is mentioned. Attachment to the gunas which create bondage produces bondage for the jiva. Attachment or rati to the Lord who is without material gunas produces liberation. But one should understand, the cause of that rati is only bhakti. Okay? Not jnana or yoga. Pure bhakti alone is recommended for liberation, ultimately. Or at least, that bhakti has to be a part of the practice. Otherwise, there is no way the mind can be attached to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, when we will read in the 27th and 28th chapters, it will become very clear that even an Ashtanga Yogi, it is mentioned, Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam. He is meditating on the pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world. Not just meditating on the Paramatma form. And Archanam is one of the parts of an Ashtanga Yogi. He has to perform Archanam. And Jnana Yogi, it is mentioned that Mai Bhavena Satyena. First thing, he has to accept that the form of the Lord is real and not imaginary. Second, he says that Shruta Sambhritaya Chiram. One should hear Krishna Katha for a long time. You know, these are all limbs of pure devotional service. But of course, for him, these are secondary limbs. Okay. But nevertheless, what he does not realize is it is all he needs to perform is only this limb. He can achieve his liberation by merely practicing this limb. But the problem is, these personalities do not have Shraddha in that. Because of the impressions that they have accumulated over many lifetimes. If you give them the path of pure devotional service, they cannot have Shraddha in that. They cannot believe it, that the path of liberation could be so simple, just hearing Krishna Katha. So therefore the other limbs are given. So that it can invoke that Shraddha. Otherwise, whatever they will perform, any pure devotional activity alone you give, they will not perform it with Shraddha. Even though that limb alone is capable of delivering the result, but their Shraddha is in something else. So therefore, give it as an addendum. Okay, you do this also along with what you want to do. That's how they get the result. The other limbs are there in order to bring in that element of Shraddha in their practice. Otherwise, if someone is qualified for pure devotion, he need not practice these other limbs, because he has Shraddha in only the pure devotional activities. Whereas their practice is not Jnana Karma Dhyana Avritam. Like that. Same thing the Vishnudutas also tell Yamadutas in the 6th canto. Esha Prakriti Sangena Purushasya Viparyaya Asit Sa Eva Nachirad Isha Sangad Viliyate. This unfortunate situation of the jivas is due to his attachment with Maya. Sa Asit Sa Eva Nachirad Isha Sangad Viliyate. Very soon this situation can be flipped. if the mind becomes attached to Krishna. Okay, so that's what it is mentioned here. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport. There is a distinction here between Krishna consciousness and Maya consciousness. Guneshu or Maya consciousness involves attachment to the three material modes of nature, under which one works sometimes in goodness and knowledge, sometimes in passion, and sometimes in ignorance. These different qualitative activities with the central attachment for material enjoyment are the cause of one's conditional life. When the same Cheta or consciousness is transferred to the Supreme Lord, or when one becomes Krishna consciousness, he is on the path of liberation. Sayeva sadhushu krito mokshadvaram apavritam. Like that. So, basically here, Kapila Deva said, you want liberation, I suggest Adhyatmik Yoga. And this Adhyatmik Yoga is of three types. Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Okay. And whatever process you choose of the three, mind is the pivot. That mind which is attracted to matter will be the cause of bondage, and that mind which is attracted to the Supreme Lord will cause liberation. Now, how does one identify whether a person is actually liberated or not liberated? What are the symptoms of a liberated mind? What are the symptoms of a mind which is liberated from matter by its association with the Supreme Lord? Ratam va pumsi muktaye. That mind which is attracted to Krishna or the Supreme Lord, that becomes the cause of liberation. So the next three verses speak about the symptoms of a liberated mind. We'll take a short break, 3-4 minutes, and then we will continue.